Today we continue our journey through the book of Exodus, and if you have a Bible with you, I strongly encourage you to turn there this morning. If you watch or look on a smartphone or an app that you use, I encourage you to open that as well. What we want to do when we're gathered on Sunday mornings, we want to read God's Word together as a people, and then we want you to have handles of how to grasp a hold of and how to keep going back to the Word and spending time with it throughout the week. And so I hope that you will either put something in the pages of your paperback Bible or footnote and bookmark your phone app so that you can do that throughout the week. And keep those Bibles open to Exodus chapter 3 because we're going to be spending a lot of time there this morning. But if you remember from the beginning of our series the last 2 weeks in the book of Exodus, the most prominent figure in this story thus far has been a man named Moses. And Moses was born into a Hebrew family. The Hebrews, or the Israelites, were the people of God. He was saved and rescued and brought into an Egyptian family. He was brought into the home of the king of Egypt and was raised as one of his children. He was adopted. Moses grew up to the point where he had an identity crisis in his life. Am I Hebrew? Am I Egyptian? And in a moment of passion and in a moment of emotion, he chose to step into a difficult situation where he saw one of his Hebrew brothers being beaten and abused by an Egyptian taskmaster, and he murdered the Egyptian. When news of that got out, not only among his people, but among the Egyptian king, he ran and he fled for his life. He made a tragic mistake, and he ran as fast as he could away from that experience. And we talked about that last week, and if you weren't with us, I would encourage you to go back and listen or watch our time together, because one of the most important truths that we shared last week and that we held on to was that even when we run from God, even when we are in those wilderness moments, God has not left us. He is not done with us. And that's an incredibly important truth for us to remember. And today we see where God reminded Moses. I mean, he reminded him throughout that wilderness experience that I am still with you. I still want a relationship with you. But one of the most memorable, one of the most well-known moments that happened in Moses' life where God reminded him that I still want to build a relationship with you. I still have plans for you to participate in my mission of rescuing my people. Was when God appeared to him in the form of a burning bush. Now, if you were to go and read Exodus chapter 3 this week, the entire chapter, and I hope you will one of the other 6 days when we're not gathered together, you're going to see that as Moses was shepherding the flock that he was caring for, he noticed that there was a bush that was on fire. And it's not unusual in the Middle East where the ground and the air is dry and the brush may have caught fire from lightning strike or something else. That wasn't unusual. But what was unusual is that the bush was not consumed. It was not destroyed by this fire. It piqued his curiosity and he wandered over to the bush. And from the bush, God spoke to Moses and he told him, "This is holy ground you're standing on because I want to tell you what it is you're about to do. I want to call you. I want to invite you into a journey with me where you are going to go back to Egypt. You've spent 4 decades here in the wilderness, and my people are still hurting. My people are still oppressed, and I am ready to send you back, as I always intended, to lead them out of Egypt." It was pretty overwhelming for Moses to have the call of God unmistakably upon his life. And one of the things we often do when we read the story of the call of God on Moses' life, and maybe you've heard this story as I've shared it just now, or maybe you've read this many times as a child and as an adult, one of the things we do is we often look at who Moses is. We look at his leadership, and yes, how he eventually led the people of God through the parted Red Sea and became the hero that his people needed. Yes, we often look at the life of Moses. But you know, the more you sit with this story, this true story, and the more you reflect and meditate on the text that's in Exodus chapter 3, the more you start to realize, the more it becomes apparent that Moses isn't the prominent character in the story. Moses isn't even the main character in the story. Because more important than the call upon Moses' life was the one who extended the call. Because everything that Moses was about to do, he was only going to be able to do because of the help, the confidence, and the encouragement of the one who called him to do it. And the reason that matters today is because God not only calls his people into relationship in 2018, but he calls and invites us into his kingdom mission. And whatever he has been stirring in your heart, whatever he has been priming your life for, yes, you'll bring important things to the table, but the call that God has placed upon your life is less about you and less about me and more about the one who extended the call. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to do what he's asked us to. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see exactly where this is true in Scripture. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning as we read from Exodus chapter 3? And we'll begin in verse 9 and read through verse 15. And these are God's words to Moses starting in verse 9. "Because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He answered him in verse 12, "I will certainly be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship right here. You will worship God at this mountain." Then Moses asked God, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' what should I tell them?" And God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the Israelites: 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how I am to be remembered in every generation.'" When Moses said, "Who am I that you should choose me? And what authority do I tell them I've been sent with?" God told him, "I am who I am. You tell them that I am has sent you." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as I look around this room and consider this congregation, I see the potential of so much to be accomplished in your kingdom mission. The gifts, the talents, the passions and experiences that are represented in this room, I get excited about what you might want to do through us as a congregation and as individuals. But Lord, I pray that we would never pursue our calling in our own strength and in our own confidence, but that we would find our empowerment and our encouragement in the one who extended the call to us in the first place. This is your story, and we find our place within it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, part of God's call upon Moses' life as he spoke to him in this burning bush moment was that Moses would travel back to Egypt. He's in Midian. He is hundreds of miles away from Egypt. So part of the specific call is that you will physically and geographically leave this place. Oftentimes when God extends a call upon our lives, sometimes that means we are prompted by him to walk across the street to a neighbor's house to bless and serve them. Other times it is to walk across the hallway in our workplace to serve or minister or encourage others. Sometimes that is geographically leaving an area or a region. Christy mentioned just a moment ago about the missions meeting today. We want to help you get where God is calling you. And for some of us in this room, it will be geographically leaving the comfort and the convenience of the Middle Tennessee area. For Moses, it was also reintroducing himself to the Israelites. Moses had been gone for 40 years. There was an awkwardness, most likely, in his anticipation of what will that conversation be like. I don't know if you've ever chosen to go back home. I don't know if you've ever gone home after you left on not so good terms, and the not so good terms were by your own doing, and you wonder, how will I be received? What will they say to me? Will they be mean to me? Will they be rude to me? Part of the calling specifically upon his life was, you will reintroduce yourself to my people. How can you lead them if they do not know you? And finally, and most importantly to kickstart the Exodus, was that you will confront Pharaoh. You will stand before the king of Egypt who holds my people in slavery, and you will say, my God demands that you let my people go. That's what you'll do. You'll confront Pharaoh. So there were unique and specific things about the call of Moses. And there's much that we could apply to our own lives. I mentioned that. God may call us to go somewhere. God may call us to lovingly and honestly have a conversation with someone. There are specific things about the calling that God may place on your life and on my life. And there's a lot we could glean from Moses' story. But unfortunately, a lot of times when we read this text, we try to glean what we can about Moses' calling and our own calling. And what can we learn from that? And how can we be better equipped for what God wants us to do? But remember what I shared a moment ago. This text and this story is not so much about Moses' calling as much as it is about the one who extended the call. And what I want us to do this morning is I don't want you to leave here today focusing on so much on what specifically God is calling you to do. That's important. You should be journaling about that. You should be documenting and capturing how God is at work in your life. But I want us to leave this place focused more so on the one who has extended the call to our lives. And the reason for that is, if we actually respond to what God is doing in our lives, we are going to need some additional help in doing it. If we actually respond to what God is prompting in our lives to have a difficult conversation with someone, to step out in faith and leave a career and trust the Lord with our finances and with our lives and whatever else he might call us to do, if we're going to do that, we're going to need more confidence than we can summon on our own. And we're going to need the encouragement to know that we're not crazy, because the line between faith and insanity sometimes is razor thin. And we're going to need to know that we heard his voice. We're going to need his confidence, his encouragement, his empowerment. We're most definitely going to need his resources. And so Moses responds to this call upon his life by just simply voicing some hesitation about it. Moses responds by saying this. We read it in verse 11. If you still have your passage open with you, I encourage you to look there with me. Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should confront Pharaoh? And who am I that I should lead your people? And he may have had his doubts. He may have been fearful. He was literally standing on holy ground. That means a reverent awe for who God is. You are God. I am not. You created me. You are the creator. I am the created. Like, I acknowledge my place in this relationship. But most likely, these are sincere questions. He's not trying to be rebellious. He's not trying to say, I won't go no matter what you say. I just don't want to do it. He's literally saying, like, there's nothing about me. There's nothing about my story that you really want to use for this, do you? And even if I get there, I mean, isn't this what he said in verse 13? If I go to the Israelites and Pharaoh, who should I tell them sent me? Moses took a quick inventory of his abilities. He took a quick snapshot of his experiences and tried to determine his potential effectiveness to fulfill the call that God had placed upon his life. And there's nothing wrong in your flesh and in my flesh with saying, what do I bring to the table? What do I bring to the table? And that's important. We all have gifts. We all have passions and experiences. That is so important. And it's natural in our flesh to tell God, I just need to make sure I'm the person that you're calling for this. So if that's the case, we would assume that God might respond by saying, here's what I dig about you. Here are the talents and the unique giftedness that I absolutely love about you, which is why I chose you. Like, that's how I would anticipate in my flesh and in my mind, that's how this conversation is going to go. But as you read the text, God doesn't spend a whole lot of time saying, this is what I love about you. Although we know God is love, and he did not create Moses on accident. Moses is here. He's got breath in his lungs for a purpose, for a reason. There's a reason for him being alive. I love you. You're here for a purpose. But God doesn't send him a whole bunch of sunshine saying, this is exactly why I chose you. Isn't that what we want sometimes? We want a sense of worth and value. We long for somebody to tell us why you chose us, why we measure up. The reason God created humans is so that we could be in relationship with him. of everything you see and everything that exists, that's what he valued the most. And he's always intended that you and I would find our identity, our worth, and our value in a relationship with him, so that we wouldn't have to go looking for it in the fleeting and unstable things of this world. Moses wanted to know, what is it about me? Why would you choose me? And God says, I chose you because of me, not because of you. I chose you, Moses, because of who I am, not because of who you are. Now, I like to play these stories out in my head. That's a little bit of a hit to the ego, isn't it? I didn't choose you based on what you can do for me. So there's that. What do you want to talk about next, Mo? And where do you go from there? But you know, people who love you, sometimes we're afraid to have honest conversations because we don't want to hurt or offend anybody. And the Bible says there is something about the gentleness of what Christ produces in your life when you have a relationship with him, that you and I should be tactful. We should be kind. We should speak the truth and love. When we need to, we should. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. Someone who loves you will tell you the truth. They will speak the truth in love. And God spoke the truth in love to Moses. This has nothing to do with how qualified you are. That's the truth. This has to do with who I am. And that's not me making it up. That comes straight from the text. Look at verse 12. God answered Moses, when you go and do this thing, I will be with you. Not just I will be with you, I will certainly be with you. I'll take every step that you take. I'll be right there with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what he promised his people. I will be with you. And what that means is that he would have the favor of God. He would have the presence of God in his life. He would be blessed. This is God telling Moses, I'm going to bless you that you'll always have me with you. You've always had me with you anyway. I'm just reminding you of what you already know. You'll have me with you. Now, most of the time in our North American filter of which we value life, we look at blessing based on, are our lives successful because we achieved what we set out to do? Are we blessed because we have certain things in life? And that includes material possessions and otherwise. Are we blessed? But when God talks about blessing, when he talks about blessing, number 624, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you have his favor. It means may you always know that I'm right there with you. I don't leave. I don't forsake. It's binding. I'm all in. And you're going to need that more than any other resource. I am with you. Now, the reason that matters today is because when God invites you and me into his kingdom mission, you and I need to know we're not doing it alone. You're not alone in this. He's not calling to ask you to do something and then running you out there. Good luck. Send me back reports from the front. That's one of the things I absolutely love about Jesus. Did you ever notice that Jesus is never saying, yeah, go love and go serve. That's a good idea. Let me know how it goes. He's not like some field general sitting on a horse in the way back saying, give me the binoculars. I need to see how they're doing out there. I mean, wasn't it Jesus who took off his outer garment, tied it around his waist, got down on his hands and knees right before? I mean, very close to the end of his life. In my flesh, I don't know if I'm thinking about serving other people or like, oh gosh, what do I need to do for me? What do I need to take care of in my own life? He served the disciples and he washed their feet. And then he said, you will be blessed if you go and do likewise. Watch me do it. Let's do this together. Now you go and do it. So when he ascended into heaven and left them physically on earth, they had seen him, they had watched him, they had served with him. They had an example. I am still with you doing these things. When he calls Moses to go, he tells him, you will have my presence with you. And isn't that what God said 800 years before Jesus arrived? You're going to call him Emmanuel because it means God with us. And when you step out in faith, it may feel crazy. And even that you need to have people in your life that can encourage and confirm the calling of God in your life. Scripture does that. People do that. That's why when you're not in community, when you only come to worship services and you're not in Christian community with other people, I have friends who are not Christians, but I need Christian community so that people are listening to the same voice that I'm listening to. And when you step out in faith, there's a lot of people that won't understand the call of God upon your life. Because that's what he's uniquely called you. You're going to feel crazy at times, and you need to know you are with me. You haven't abandoned me. You're right here. And more than anything, I mean, think about it this way. Why does this matter? We have a lot of people in our church that have been diagnosed with things recently, difficult things. Think about all the time you sit in a waiting room waiting on a doctor to call you back. Anybody waiting on test results this week? Human condition being what it is, this beautiful but broken world, some of us are going to be there in the weeks, years, and decades ahead. And you need to know that before you get to that doctor's office, before you get in that waiting room, Jesus is already there waiting on you. You're going to need to know, he said, if I've allowed this to come into your life, it's to shape you to look more like me, and I'm going to get glory through it, and I'm also going to increase your joy as a result of it. And you need to know I'm with you in this. I think one of the reasons this is so basic. I'm with you. I know Jesus is with me. You know, Jesus, if you're a Christian, you came in here this morning, do you know that God is with you? He's promised never leave you or forsake you. But we can't feel it sometimes, right? I think part of that is because we don't stay in relationship with God. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. I'm not saying you lose the relationship. I'm simply saying oftentimes we reduce it to a Sunday morning engagement with God, and then the other 6 days of the week, we just kind of on our own, and then we re-engage on Sunday, and then we're on our own, and sometimes we don't sow seeds into our own life throughout the week reading the word. Why do you think nearly every Sunday I say read this text throughout the week? Spend time with Jesus. Let him remind you that he's with you. He has not abandoned you. He will be faithful to you no matter what he calls you to do. When you and I step away, when we get lazy, when we get complacent, when we get selfish and slowly kind of lean back and lean away from God, it's harder to hear his voice when he says, I'm here, I haven't left you, I'm still here in this waiting room, I'm still here with you in this office, this place I've called you to. You know that conversation I encourage you to have with your neighbor who does not know me, and if they died today, would spend eternity separated from my love? You know that conversation? I'm still with you as you make those steps across the driveway. But we can't hear it, we can't sense it, because as we pull away, we lose the ability to hear the sound of his voice and to know he has not left us. He told him, I'll certainly be with you when you go. Not only will I be with you, but I'll be your credentials when you get there. I mean, isn't that what Moses said? Like, when I get there, whose authority should I tell him sent me? My Hebrew brethren are going to be like, you're a murderer, loser, whatever. You, not you. And Pharaoh. I don't know if you know this. I mean, it's a different Pharaoh at this point, but like, I don't know if you know this, but I don't think the king of Egypt likes me very much. I could be wrong on this. I'll take a flyer, Lord, but this is what I'm thinking. And the Lord said, when you get there, you tell them the I am sent you. You tell them the I am sent you, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created everything and even made you. You tell them that's who sent you. Genesis 1 tells us that God spoke and he made everything. And that's some pretty good creativity. Everything. And Colossians chapter 1 tells us that in Christ, God, through Jesus, holds everything still together. You ever tried to hold your life together? You ever played God in your life? Hello, yes, I have. This is not personal testimony time, praise God. But I've tried to keep my life in orbit, and I've made a mess of it. I do well for seasons. Maybe like you, you do okay, and then it spins out of control. The Bible tells us that God created, he made, he brought into existence everything out of nothing, and he still, by the power of his son, Jesus, holds it all together. Me, if I spoke to you, Moses, through a burning bush, how random is that? I can take care of this. I got it. I'm good. You tell them I sent you. You tell them Yahweh. That is the name that the Hebrews called from that point forward. You tell them Yahweh, the Lord sent you. I am your calling card. You don't need anything else. Just go. Reason that matters today in 2018 is because you're going to be called to do things. Some of you are preparing for that calling right now. And it may be in full-time ministry. It may be to go globally into missions. Or it may be that you're a Christian businessman or Christian woman, and you're like, I'm not supposed to serve on staff in the local church. I'm not supposed to go on a mission trip. I'll go on a short term, but I'm not supposed to go for my life. Like, I am supposed to be salt and light in the place where I work and to shepherd and steward and bless and serve my employees so that they might eventually come to faith in Christ. I'm going to love them and serve them whether they do or whether they don't. That's what we exist to do. But God's going to call you to do that. And you're going to need to know that he is your calling card. He is your credentials. Several years ago, that's 2 decades, a little more than several. When I first got into ministry, I can remember the first funeral I ever preached. I was still in seminary when I first went into ministry. And I can remember working to craft remarks that were comforting, that were encouraging, that were truthful, and to be as mentally and emotionally engaged with what this family was experiencing as I could. But I can remember sitting in my seat on the side of the worship center, being able to see the family, and the person who had passed away had gone on to be with the Lord. They were a believer. But when we risk loving someone and they're no longer with us, maybe they moved to a different city. My best friend moved to a different city last year. I miss him. Maybe when you lose a loved one, you still miss them, even if you know where they are, that they're with Christ. And I can remember 2 decades ago saying, Lord, I've studied, I've prepared, but I'm sitting there praying. If you ever wonder what the pastor's praying like before he preaches or whatever, like this is one of those things. And I said, but Lord, I really don't think I have anything. I don't know if I have enough in me to help them. I've prepared, I've studied, but I don't know if I have what it takes. And the Lord doesn't speak to me in audible voices. Now, he may to you. Oftentimes, I feel like he's looking over my shoulder saying, hey, do you remember I told you about this? Or I feel as I'm reading scripture, the Spirit just impresses upon my heart something. And it's almost as if it's audible. And when I said, Lord, I don't know that I have what this family needs in this moment. And I felt him say, exactly right. You have nothing in your own strength and in your own resources. So don't give them you. Give them me. Remind them of the hope that they have in me. And you be my vessel. You open up your mouth and let me speak. And I cannot tell you the confidence and the encouragement, the comfort the Holy Spirit ministered to me in that moment, that welled up inside of me, that the result or the outcome of the calling wasn't up to me. I was simply supposed to be faithful and respond to what God had invited me into, what he had given me the opportunity to do, and to trust that he is creative enough, he is resourced enough, he has the authority that is needed to bring people hope and to bring people life. I mean, if Jesus raises dead people, what does he need my help with? Give them Jesus. His resources are inexhaustible. His creativity is unlimited. Why would we ever forget that? But again, when we lean back, when we get lazy, when we get complacent, and we don't engage the Lord on a consistent basis, we forget that. I mean, seriously, here's the deal. If you went to your small group this week and the small group leader walked in and said, I'm a pretty big deal in this church. I've got a couple of degrees in seminary, and we're going to walk through Exodus together. I know Aaron talked about it. We're really going to get into it tonight. Sit down and let me show you what I got. How long would it be before you said, like, oh my gosh, look, I got to go. Like, look at what time it is. I'm never going back to that group again. And you wouldn't be impressed by it. You wouldn't be encouraged by it, right? Now, I've never known anyone at Avenue South to ever do that, okay? So if you're like, oh my gosh, she's talking about me. Maybe that's between you and the Lord, but like, I'm not talking about you, okay? If you're a small group leader, if you're a mentor relationship mentor, if you're a Bible reading group leader, and God has called you into that position, like Moses, you do have abilities and talents that have uniquely shaped you for that. You've got to know that, right? But your leadership in the kingdom of God is not about what you bring to the table. Give people Jesus. Stake people to the reality that God is present with his people. Stake people to the reality that God is faithful, that he always keeps his promises. Stake people to the reality that God has every resource that we will ever need for anything he calls us to. Because guess what? There might be somebody sitting right under your leadership that this week they're going to be called into ministry or called into some kingdom adventure, and they need to be reminded of this. that God is faithful. That's what he told him. I will be with you. I made a promise to Abraham and your forefathers. I am keeping it now. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I have everything you need. You have my authority. You let me be your calling card in life. The one thing I need from you, Moses, is for you to respond. The one thing I need from you is for you to respond to this invitation. I simply need you to obey my invitation. And when I was a kid, I hated the word obedience. I am 41. I hate the word obedience. So if you're with me, let's form a support group and like we'll meet somewhere in the community, okay? I hate obedience. This is the people that hate the word obedience because it makes us feel obligated to something, right? I hate the word obedience. It's okay to hate it. But I do like when things are simple. I like when things are simple. Here's exactly what's expected of you when you show up at this meeting. I like that. I don't know if you like that. God says, I'm faithful. I will bless you with my presence. You will never be alone. And I'll give you everything. I have all the authority that you need for this job. Just trust me. The one thing I ask you to do is respond. Obey. Obedience. If there was a part that Moses played, if there was something he brought to the table, let's just go there. If there was something, it's obedience. If you will obey, I will take care of everything, and together we'll do this. But I need you to respond. Isn't that how the good news of Jesus works anyway? We hear about this relationship that we can have with God, finding our identity, finding our worth, finding our reason for getting up in the morning. And it's made possible through the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the power of his resurrection. And isn't God the one who went ahead and gave us his son? He's already done that. Isn't it God that when we say, I want Jesus, he takes that sacrificial death of Christ, that new life that he offers, and extends it to us? Isn't it God who does that? Isn't it God who continues to sanctify and shape men and women, boys and girls within his kingdom as we walk through life with him on his kingdom mission? I mean, God brings a lot to the table. And what he asks of us is to respond to that invitation to participate. And the thing I absolutely love about God and the thing I love about Jesus is that he will not manipulate people. He will not force or coerce us to respond. I've said this before, but we will be a church that loves and serves and tells people unapologetically, we have found peace in this life and we have been promised peace and hope, not only for this life, but the next, and we found it in Christ. And we will tell people, and if somebody says, you guys are crazy, you're loons, I don't want any, you're nice, let's have coffee, but I'm not interested, I believe something else. That is not up to us. We do not manipulate. We do not twist arms. We do not coerce, because Jesus never did. We simply continue to love and serve and extend an invitation to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And even in that, we're not connecting them to our talents, our abilities, our qualifications. We're connecting them with God. And we trust him with the results of our obedience. How liberating is that? Obey and trust God with the consequences of your obedience. I think I'm interested in signing up for that. I think I'm interested in responding to that, because God has provided everything we will ever need for what he calls us to do. And so whatever you're facing, the call that you have upon your life, maybe you feel like Moses, maybe you do not feel qualified, guess what? Join the club. Join the club. But it's God who qualifies the called. Maybe you're excited, but you need to be reminded that it's him working in and through you, which enables you to be successful in that call. But my prayer is that when God calls, you will obey. Not because of you or me and what we bring to the table, but because of his character, his nature, and his faithfulness. That's what I pray we would do as a church. And all of that is in Exodus chapter 3. And we got 66 more books to discover as a church family. But we won't do all that today. Can I pray for us? Can I pray for God's blessing, his presence upon us as a church family? Let me do that. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for all that you have done. You are faithful. You are with us. you have the resources and the authority to empower us for what you call us to do. So I pray that this morning, the man or woman, the boy or girl that can hear my voice that belongs to you would respond in obedience and trust you with the outcome of what you've invited them to do. And I pray that if there's someone who has never responded to the invitation to find new life and to find identity and worth and value in a relationship with you through faith in your Son, I pray that they would respond to that invitation as well. Our lives belong to you. The calling that you extend to us, that as well belongs to you. We make much of you in this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand with me this morning. And we're going to respond by singing through the chorus of the song that we sung earlier today. And I want you just to take the next few minutes to think about what God has called and is calling you to do, or that He might call you to do in the days ahead. And you pray for obedience as you sing and as we worship together.